This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The liturgical scripture readings for the most holy body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi. A reading from the book of Genesis. In those days, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and being a priest of the God Most High, he blessed Abram with these words. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, the creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who delivered your foes into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The responsorial psalm. You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek.
You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek.
The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstools.
You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek.
The scepter of your power, the Lord, will stretch forth from Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies.
You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek.
Yours is princely power in the day of your birth, in holy splendor, before the day star, like the dew, I have begotten you.
You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek.
The Lord has sworn, and he will not repent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.
You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. He said to them, give them some food yourselves. They replied, 5 loaves and 2 fish are all we have, unless we go ourselves and buy food for all these people. Now the men there were numbered about 5,000. Then he said to the disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Carla, today we celebrate the most holy body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi, and you have some reflections on that.
Yes, the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ is also known as the Feast of Corpus Christi. And this is a day that we bring a special focus to the body and blood of Christ. This feast was originated in France in the mid-13th century under Pope Urban IV. And here in the United States, we celebrate the feast on the Sunday following Trinity Sunday. The Feast of Corpus Christi is commonly used as an opportunity for public processions, and they serve as a kind of common faith of and adoration, a sign of common faith and adoration. And the feast calls us to focus on two manifestations of the body of Christ, the Holy Eucharist and the church. The primary focus of this feast is to focus our attention on the Eucharist. At every Mass, our attention is called to the Eucharist and the real presence of Christ. We worship Jesus, truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. The secondary focus of this solemnity is on the church, which is also referred to as the mystical body of Christ because of the intimate communion which Jesus shares with his disciples. Jesus himself used the metaphor of a Bible in which he said he is the head. So this image helps keep in focus both the unity and the diversity of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, and talking about the importance of the Eucharist, we here in the Diocese of Portland, on this feast day, the Archbishop of Portland has called for all area churches around the Portland, Oregon area to join a Eucharistic procession. This will take place at St. Mary's Cathedral. And at least my understanding is closing off roads and everything sort of thing. So if you can take part in that procession, please be part of that.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about Corpus Christi, you know, Eucharistic miracles are not the reason for our faith, but they can provide something very tangible to assist our belief and our understanding. And I wanted to just kind of talk about two Eucharistic miracles. There are many. I'm just going to pick two.
Yes.
There's one, a better known one and a lesser known one. So many probably have heard about Peter of Prague back in 1263. He was a German priest who was struggling with the doctrine of transubstantiation. And as he was saying Mass, blood began to stream out of the host and onto the corporal at the moment of consecration. And that was something that's a well-known story. There is something that is also lesser known from Avignon, France. This happened in 1433. There was a small church run by a Franciscan order, and they had adoration in the chapel. Well, there were days of rain, and actually on November 30th of that year, Avignon was flooded. And although the water around the church was 4 feet high, there was a pathway from the door to the altar that was perfectly dry. Of course,
wow.
Echoes of the Red Sea, right?
Yeah.
How beautiful that is. So that was one that you can read about. That was, again, in Avignon, France in 1433.
And of course, we know about the compilation by Blessed Carlo Acutis,
yes.
on the
exactly.
miracles.
He has so many that are beautiful, so you can please look that up as well.
And we have exhibitions of the miracles throughout the Portland area off and on.
Yes, and again, that's not the reason for our faith, but it gives us as creatures of senses to help us understand.
Right, yes,
we need those.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the first reading. It's a very short reading, but I want to provide a little bit of background because all you see is Melchizedek shows up, brings bread and wine. Abram's thankful and he gives him a tenth of everything. It's like, that's a good deal.
Right?
Yeah,
who are these people?
So you may remember back in, this is roughly in Genesis 14, how Lord calls Abram to leave his country and go to a land that will be shown to him. And his nephew Lot goes with him. Well, they move to Canaan and the Lord says, this is the country I'm going to give you and your descendants. But then a famine broke out and they moved south into Egypt. Well, Abram told the king of Egypt that Sarah was his sister so he wouldn't get killed. Well, that was bad news. And the king contracted a terrible disease that the Lord sent. So Abram and Sarah got kicked out of Egypt. Well, they left Egypt, moved back to Canaan. Well, there's not enough land for both Abram and Lot by this time. You know, families might argue every once in a while. So Lot moved to Jordan Valley, which is where near Sodom is. That might bring up the Sodom and Gomorrah story. Well, war breaks out all over the place. The conquerors took Lot and all his possessions. Abram rescues Lot, his possessions, and upon his return, he meets this mysterious person, Melchizedek.
All right. Now, the name Melchizedek is likely a pseudonym, more of a title of an office that he held rather than his personal name. No one knows for certain the true identity of this mysterious Melchizedek, but one theory is that this may have been Shem, the son of Noah. In sacred scripture, a blessing like the blessing that's described in this reading is traditionally passed on from a father to his firstborn son. And this is the first mention of the passing on of such a blessing since the time that Noah bestowed a blessing on his oldest son, Shem. So whoever this Melchizedek was who blessed Abram would have been someone who held the authority to bestow such a blessing. And Bible scholars have also suggested that it was possible that Shem could have been still alive. And it had to be someone that Abram held in high esteem because he gave him a tenth of everything, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. And we see Melchizedek as the first priest mentioned in the Bible. And of course, you say we don't necessarily know much about him, but we do know that he was both priest and king, which was unusual in the Old Testament, and that he was king of Salem, which means peace. We, of course, see Jesus as the long-awaited priest, prophet, and king, and he is the king of Jerusalem, or the city of peace. In Hebrews 6:20, we see that Christ as the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But to me, one of the most interesting things about this reading is the type of sacrifice Melchizedek offers. And that, of course, is, as you mentioned, bread and wine. Now, animal sacrifice was commanded as part of the Jewish law. But Melchizedek's sacrifice involved no sheep, lamb, goat, dove, or young pigeon. In fact, there was no animal involved at all. It was bread and wine. And of course, Christ instituted the Eucharist, the very gift of himself, under the accidence of bread and wine. And to me, this is the very interesting part, which is the Jewish understanding of bread, specifically the manna that came down from heaven. Now, in the Jewish Targum, which is the translation of the Jewish scriptures used in synagogues, Exodus 16:4 says this, "I will cause the bread which has been laid up for you from the beginning to descend from heaven." So we see Christ not only as our heavenly bread, but existing from the beginning. And only God the Son can fulfill such a prophecy. So Abram recognizes God's presence, and out of gratitude, he offers Melchizedek a tenth of everything.
Yeah.
And in our Mass, we must also recognize God's presence and also offer a gift of thankfulness and gratitude.
Wow, that prefiguration. Yeah. It's beautiful.
We have spent a lot of time with first reading. Let's go ahead and spend a little time in the second reading. We see here in this line, "Do this in remembrance of me." Paul recalls the institution of the Eucharist and the command that Christ gave to his priest to do this in remembrance of me. And there are three very important lessons we must take away from this reading. How Paul is handing on an apostolic tradition of how Christ wants the liturgy of the Eucharist to be performed. That there are very specific instructions, and therefore the celebration is not open to personalization or being tricked up or anything like that. And the Eucharist is the source and sign of our unity. This truly is communion, or common union.
Yes. And when Jesus spoke the words, "This is my body and this is my blood," he instituted the Eucharist. And when he spoke the words, "Do this in memory of me," he instituted the priesthood. So we don't want to overlook the importance of what Jesus spoke at the Last Supper. The Eucharistic celebration is shrouded in mystery. And even though we'll never fully comprehend transubstantiation, which is the term used to define the mysterious transformation of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, that's what occurs during the consecration, we can still develop a reasonable understanding of the Mass. And we have to remember that the Eucharist is Jesus' resurrected body. Jesus is not bound by time and space, and neither is his resurrected body. The Mass is a participation of our Lord's timeless and everlasting sacrifice. Jesus died on the cross once and for all, and then he rose from the dead. And it's through the Eucharistic celebration of the Holy Mass that Jesus continues to offer himself to God the Father as a holy, living, and perfect sacrifice on behalf of the Church.
You talk about the transubstantiation and the true presence of the Eucharist. I see in the gospel today a beautiful prefiguration of the Eucharist in today's gospel.
Well, you know, Kevin, there are two miracles that happened that
two.
Day.
I want to point them out. I saw one.
Yeah, I know. You don't want to forget. The first one was the way that our Lord was able to manage to get a crowd of over 5,000, that doesn't include the women and children, to all sit down and be quiet. And the second was the multiplication of loaves and fishes.
I got it. I wonder which one was more difficult for him.
I'm teasing, of course, the multiplication, right?
Well, today's gospel starts at verse 11, but the first 10 verses of this chapter, Jesus gave the apostles power and authority to cast out demons and to cure diseases. But when they came back from that experience, they struggled with the idea that a miracle could feed the people.
Yeah.
Why? Well, we may never know. There's a lot of theories. But what we do know is that Christ blessed, broke, and then gave the miraculous food. So the question for today is, what 5 loaves and 2 fish can we offer?
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio. For more information about this show, go to materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.